Saints in Christ, redeemed from your sin, not with gold or silver, but with Christ's blood, his innocent suffering and death for you. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The inspired word of God, which forms the basis of our message today, comes to us from the epistle according to St. James and the gospel reading from St. Mark. I ask you, do you live your life according to God's word, or do you live your life according to how you want to live it? If we look at the petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Hallowed be thy name," and we look at the explanation to that petition, it says that we gladly hear and learn God's word and live holy lives according to it. So I ask you, do you gladly hear and learn God's word and live holy lives according to it? Or do you live according to your will, what you want? The Epistle of St. James, Jesus' brother, provides us some guidance and some thoughts for this. James wrote, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits for all he created." So, how'd you get here today? You came in a vehicle of some type, right? And what do you have covering your bodies? Clothing, yes? And I'm going to assume that all of you have a tummy full, yes? And that the refrigerator at home has food in it, the freezer is well stocked, the fields are ripe with harvest, the livestock are fat. Where'd all that come from? You work for it, right? It's yours. You earned it. Your 401k, your stock portfolio, it's all because of what you have done. Or do you consider it a gift from God? All of it is from him. And if you look at the people around you, your children, your grandchildren, your spouse, your friends, they too are gifts from God. As the Holy Spirit inspired James to write, "Every good and perfect gift is from above." All that we have, all that we are, all of us together here are gifts from God. Then if we go on there and we think for a moment about the world, not much going on out there, is there? Everything's kind of the same. Nothing really changes. You know, we could start with, well, Pastor, lots of things have changed over the past years. When my wife and I married, we had a car. It had a 4-cylinder engine, a 4-speed manual transmission, and an AM radio. I now have a Ford pickup that essentially I can get on the interstate, push some buttons, and it drives itself down the highway without me touching the steering wheel or the gas pedal, guided by satellite, listening to satellite radio. I think automobiles have changed a little bit, and I think all of us have changed a little bit, and I think things continuously change. If we look at the saints buried across the street and they were to come back today and just look at the fields around us, you think some things have changed? Yes. And with so much change, it brings so much uncertainty. But with God, there is no uncertainty. As James wrote, the Father of heavenly lights who does not change like shifting shadows. All that we have comes from him. All that we are comes from him. And he does not change, and we can hold on to that. Now, my next question is this. Have you ever said something you regretted? Yeah. I know personally I've been able to get these 2 feet in the same mouth several times over, having said things that I shouldn't have said or that I did say, and I went, oh, why did I say that? What does Scripture tell us? James wrote, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So what are we to do? Well, James says that we're to keep a tight rein on our tongue. Well, how do we do this? Well, put your mind in motion before you put your mouth in motion. That'll help. That'll help. Watch what you say. And ask the Holy Spirit to guide you in your thoughts and in your words. And keep out of the world. He says, don't be polluted by the world. Where are you more at? Are you more in the world or more in God's word? That says a lot about how you follow the petition, hallowed be thy name. Whether you put Christ or self first. Well, let's take a little trip back in time. Let's go back to the first century. Let's go back to Galilee. Jesus and his disciples are in Galilee. They're hanging out around Capernaum. And Jesus said, let's go west. Why would they go west to Tyre and Sidon? They're going to the beach. It's on the Mediterranean Sea. It's beautiful. Not only that, they had things to do there. Jesus always went somewhere to preach, to teach, to heal. Nothing wrong with going over to the Med, hang out for a few days, and to carry on his ministry there. So they did. They traveled westward. They went over to Tyre, then up to Sidon. Then they came back down into Galilee. Then they went along the eastern edge of the Sea of Galilee. Not really the best place for Jews to go. They did. They went along there, and they went down to an area called Decapolis, down on the southeastern side of the Sea of Galilee. Decapolis, Deca, 10 cities. What's Jesus doing there? What's going to happen there? What's going to go on there? Dr. Chad Bird said, when you read things like this, think in these terms. Geography is theology, and theology is geography. Jesus went into this area where there was virtually no Jewish people. In fact, when the Hebrew people first entered the Promised Land and kicked all the Canaanites out, that area was inhabited by Amorites. And it was actually a very Hellenistic area, influenced by Greek culture, because at one time the Greeks had all that before the Romans came in and beat them up and took over everything. So really, Jesus, what are you doing over there with all of these pagans? Geography is theology. Jesus took the disciples there to preach God's word to those who had not heard it. Furthermore, what also happened in that area? Remember the man full of a legion of demons? Yeah. Basically the same area where Jesus went for a purpose, drove out the demons into the herd of swine, and they all went off the cliff and drown. This tells us that Jesus did not come only for the Jewish people, the Hebrew people. He came for all people. All people, including these unbelieving pagans. Well, while he was there, some people brought a man to him. Mark wrote, some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. Sad, very sad. Could not speak, could not hear. Why? Well, if you asked a Hebrew, if you asked one of the Pharisees, they would say, well, it's because of his parents' sin. No, that's not true. Why was he in this condition? Martin Luther says this, for that this poor man is hurt in this manner that he can use neither tongue nor ears like other people, these are blows and thrusts of the accursed devil. Before the world it may seem, and everyone be of the opinion, that they may be natural ailments, for the world does not know the devil, and that he does much harm, makes the people mad and foolish, inflicts all manner of misfortune on them, not only in body but also in soul, that they die for terror and sorrow and cannot attain true joy. But we Christians should deem such defects and infirmities nothing else but blows of the devil. He causes such distress on earth and does damage where he can. Why would Satan afflict the ears and the tongue? Faith comes by hearing. How do you hear? When someone reads God's word to you, when someone preaches God's word to you. If the word cannot be heard, the tongue cannot confess one's faith. So if Satan can bind up the tongue and plug up the ears, you have a person that is not able to hear God's word, learn it, and live a life according to it, and to have the Holy Spirit enter in. Luther acknowledges this also, where he says, the ears take hold of the word and the heart believes it, but the tongue speaks and confesses as the heart believes. Therefore, if you have not heard the word and have not confessed your faith in God, you're the same as all those Amorite pagans over there were back then. You are an unbeliever. So Jesus, looking at this poor man, had compassion on him, and was going to perform a miracle here. So he did six things. First of all, he took the man off to a quiet place by themselves. Second, he touched his fingers to the man's ears. Why did he do that? Several years ago, I was outside, we lived up by Chicago, and I had a little grandson with, and it was cold, but we were out playing, and he had a bit of a cough and wasn't feeling good. And one of our neighbors drove up and hopped out of his car, went to the mailbox, and went talking to him, and my grandson kind of coughed, and my neighbor looked at him and said, bring him in the house. Let's have a look at him. So we went into the neighbor's house, and Dr. Garcia took out his stethoscope, and he took out his otoscope, and we sat down at the kitchen table, and I was holding my grandson, and he looked at me, he says, first thing I'm going to do is touch his ears, because then he knows I'm going to do something to his ears. And so Dr. Garcia touched my grandson's ears, and then he took his scope and looked in there. Jesus was communicating to the man, I'm going to do something to your ears. That's why he touched his ears. What's the third thing Jesus did? He spit. Why did he spit? That's kind of gross, isn't it? Tradition. It's a tradition. Spitting indicates release, a casting out. He was indicating to the man could see Jesus spit, so he probably understood that release was coming. The burden was going to go away. The fourth thing Jesus did was to touch the tongue. I'm going to do something to your tongue. The fifth thing, he looked to his Father in heaven and prayed. Where does all of our help come from? All things come, every good and perfect gift, from God our Father. And the sixth thing that Jesus did is he sighed. Why would Jesus sigh? Compassion. Love. Jesus knew and understood. He knows and understands what you are going through in your life. He knows and understands the troubles that you have, the concerns that you have, the difficulties that you have, the ailments that you have. And he is filled with compassion for you, that deep-seated compassion that comes from deep down within. The same kind of compassion that he showed when they went to the grave of Lazarus and he cried. The same kind of compassion that he showed when he looked upon Jerusalem and cried. The same kind of compassion that he looks upon you. When you, his dear children, suffer. And he knows. As Luther said, God knows that we suffer many and various ailments and afflictions and whatever because of sin, our own sin, and because of the blows and strikes and thrusts of Satan. It's a constant battle, it's a constant war. And he is after us continuously to try to get us to doubt God, to turn from God, to be separated from God. And what separates us? Well, what did James say? Number one is your tongue. Two, if you aren't listening to God's word, hallowing his name. And I guess you could throw in there forgetfulness. We forget that all we have is a perfect gift from God. We forget to say prayers. We forget to acknowledge our Heavenly Father. And is it so much forgetting? Is it we are more involved in the world, allowing it to pollute us? And if we look at the Christian church today, the true Christian church stands strong. But the majority who call themselves Christians have been totally polluted by the shifting winds and currents of our culture. So what are we to do? We are to call out to the Lord for help. We are to come here for help. We are to ask God to send his Holy Spirit to help us. Where the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies us, keeping us where? In that one true faith until life everlasting. And in the same manner, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, keeping it with Jesus Christ in that true faith. We call out to the Lord to guard, guide, and direct our paths, that we do not stray, that we are not polluted by the world. Yes, Pastor, we can do that. But what about our maladies? What about our hurts? What about our sorrows? You're going to have them. And because you are a Christian, because you are a baptized Christian, because you come here to Zion Lutheran Church, you're going to get beat up all the more because Satan wants to hurt you and he wants you to doubt. He wants you to turn away from him. So come here for refuge. Come here to this place where you receive relief from your maladies, where you receive spiritual healing. You came here this morning. The first thing you did after the hymn is to confess your sin. And I, speaking for God, absolved you of your sin. I didn't do it. God did it. I just spoke the words. And then you heard Logan read to you God's word. You heard God's word. You took it all in, and now you hear it expounded upon. It's for your edification. You come here for word, and you come here for sacrament. You come here and you bring your children to the font to be baptized, where they are marked and sealed as God's own children. So that as you approach death's door, you don't do it with fear and trembling. You do it with joy and happiness, knowing that you are going to pass from this life to the next because your name is written in the book of life in heaven. And you come here bearing that burden of sin that's weighing heavily upon your back. Well, you bring it up here this morning and you lay it right there as you eat Jesus' body and drink his blood for the forgiveness of your sin. And then you turn around and walk away, released from your burdens, healed by the grace of God, to the eating and drinking of our Lord and Savior's body and blood. Jesus sighs and has compassion on us and gives us hope, courage, and strength through the hearing of his word, the confessing of his word, and the receipt of his sacraments. In his holy name, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.